I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see you this morning. Yes, once again I want to remind you of the fast passage of time. Yes, let us all not forget that we have we are coming to the almost to the end of the third quarter. And then very soon we will be entering into the last quarter of the year, and the year soon will be out. So fast, the year 2013 will be over. But the question that remains for all of us to answer is, what have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ? Should He come today, will we be ready to meet Him? Will we be able to stand before Him to give a good account of ourselves, of the work that we have done for Him? Now, these are questions that are very relevant, which we need to answer. So I pray that you will be very, very conscious that we need to be ready to meet Him. Now, this morning, the subject is, the Lord, my answer in trouble. Now, we are troubled about many things. Isn't it very true? Yes, life is full of troubles. When people are poor, they think it is their poverty that causes the problem, and so they say, well, if this poverty can be replaced by riches, then my troubles are all over. So they think. Now then you think the rich are trouble-free, but the rich have got the troubles too. They do not know what to do with the money. And then they do not know how to preserve their wealth. And they do not know how to write their will. They say, how should I write my will so that when I pass away, the money that I leave behind will not be distributed to people that I do not want the money to go to. And for sure, I do not want my money to go into the tax department. Yes. Then the sick are troubled too. The sick are troubled because they are fearful that they might not get well. And those who are healthy, they are fearful that they might get sick. So you see, they have all kinds of troubles. I remember reading about this guy, I saw this report about him on television some years ago. And he was actually a very healthy person, but he was fearful of dying young. And he was fearful of dying of cancer. And so he went on a very, very special diet. And in next to no time, he became very, very skinny. He was a six-footer, but he weighed less than 60 kilos. He saw his doctor, and his doctor told him that he was underweight, and he was suffering from calcium deficiency. And if he was not watchful, he was going to develop osteoporosis. So you see, he thought he could get away from some problems, and he got into another problem. He got into another trouble. Then, young people, do you not have troubles? Yes, young people have the troubles too. They are troubled about girl-boy relationship, and they are troubled about their schoolwork, troubled about their looks, troubled about the pimples that are growing on their face. Yes, and all kinds of troubles. Now, then, we have the universal trouble, the trouble of being unable to answer two very, very vital questions. Yes, number one, what is the meaning of life? Number two, where do I go from here when I die? So you see, we are troubled about many things. And the word of God is very, very true when it says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of troubles. You want to challenge that? Now, my dear friends, absolutely true what the word of God says. But what is the root of all the troubles that we have in this world? Now, the root of all troubles is sin. When God created the heaven and the earth, He created them perfect. His creation, including man, was trouble-free. But when sin entered into the world through our first parents, sin brought along with it troubles. Yes? And the greatest trouble that sin brought along is this thing called death. And what is death? Death is separation. Physical death is separation of the soul from the body. And spiritual death is separation of the soul from the one true living God. Now, when we pass away, we enter through what? We go through what is known as physical death. The soul separates from the body. Now, if we are unrepentant And we continue to be separated from the one true living God. Our souls continue to be separated from the one true living God, and our souls are going to eternal hell, where we will be tormented day and night for all eternity. And death, as we said, is brought about by sin. Now, but what is sin? Now, sin is the transgression of God's laws. It is the breaking of God's laws. Yes, and we are guilty of many sins. Yes, I'd like us to look at just one list of sins in the Word of God. I read for you, taken from Galatians 5:19-21. Let me read you these two verses. Now the works of the law of the now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, talking about sins, the whole list of sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which means strife, contention, emulations, which means jealousy, wrath, which means uncontrollable temper, strife, seditions, which means having a very, very divisive, contentious spirit, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, which I tell you before, as I also have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The greatest trouble that we have being guilty of these sins is that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we will not be entering into heaven. That is the greatest trouble caused by sin. Now there we say that we are not guilty of the sins that are just listed: wrath, uncontrollable anger, yes, hatred, emulations, jealousies, envyings. My dear friends, I dare say that we are guilty of many of these sins. Yes, and when we sin, my dear friends, often we are bringing troubles down upon ourselves. People commit adultery, and they bring about the sexual diseases upon themselves. Yes, and they commit adultery and they break up their families. People cheat, and then the trouble of the long arm of the law catching up with them comes upon them. When they are found guilty, they face the trouble of going to jail. So because of sins, my dear friends, we bring troubles down upon ourselves. But here in John chapter 12, the passage that we just read, John chapter 12 verse 27, we read that the Lord, who is perfectly sinless. Now remember we said that we bring troubles down upon ourselves because of our sins. But here the Lord is perfectly sinless, and he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now is my soul troubled, the Lord says. But remember, he was perfectly sinless. Now, if he was perfectly sinless, how could troubles come down upon him? Yes, troubles could not have come down upon him because he was perfectly sinless. Yet he says, my soul is troubled. So, what did he actually mean? Now, was he troubled by the sort of the physical sufferings that he was going to bear when he went to the cross of Calvary? Was he thinking of those sufferings at that time when he said, my soul is troubled? Now, sure, the pain of bearing the cross or the pain of going to the cross is something that is very, very excruciating, or was very excruciating. Now let me just give a very brief description of the sufferings that the victims on the cross would have to bear. The position of the victim on the cross was very unusual. All right, it was an unusual position, and the victim would hang from the cross from that position. His hands would be nailed to the cross, and then his feet would also be nailed to the upright of the cross. Sometimes a peg was installed at the buttocks region on the upright so that the victim might be able to sit on that peg. Every movement of the person of the cross was very, very painful. It was very, very painful indeed. The torn veins and the crushed tendons would throb with anguish. The wounds inflamed would develop gangrene. The arteries, particularly of the head and the stomach, would be swollen and oppressed with blood. Added to these sufferings would be the pangs of burning and raging thirst. When the person reached that state, his one big wish was to die immediately. So painful, so unbearable, the person having reached that state would say, "I wish I can die now." And in some cases, the victim would hang there for a few days until he died and until his body rotted. So yes, the physical pain on the cross of on the cross was very excruciating. But was that the thing that was troubling our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he said, "Now my soul is troubled"? My dear friends, if that was the thing that was troubling him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was no better than a martyr. Because many martyrs would be able to bear that kind of sufferings without flinching, without complaining at all. No, my dear friends, our Lord was not a martyr. And he was not talking about and not thinking about those physical sufferings. Now, what was he thinking about? My dear friends, at that time when he said, "My soul is troubled," he was thinking of the full weight of the sins of the world in time past, in time present, in time future, coming down upon him. That was what he was thinking about. He was thinking about the full concentration of the horrors of death coming upon him. The horrors of death, which would of course include all the punishments on mankind because of their sins. Yes, that was the kind of horrors that the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking about when he said, "My soul is troubled." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Alright, I'd like us to turn to this verse. You see that the Lord was fearful. Alright, the Lord was fearful when he thought about these sufferings. Hebrews 5, 7. Okay, let me read for you. Jesus, who there is Jesus. Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. He feared. My dear friends, it was a fearful thing, so fearful, to bear the horrors of the death of all of mankind in time past, in time present, in time future. So much so that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was very troubled. And so he said, "Now my soul is troubled." Now let us understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was one person, but he had two natures, the divine nature and the human nature. He was perfect God, perfect man. He is perfect God, and he is perfect man. Fully God, fully man. And I dare say that it was his human nature that was feeling this trouble when he said, "Now my soul is troubled." Now think of the troubles that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. We quoted these two verses, I think, 2 weeks ago. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Yes. The word of God says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Friends, that was the thought that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he said, "Now is my soul troubled." The Lord was going to lay on him the iniquities of us all, your sins and my sins. He suffered. For what purpose, my dear friends? Our Lord was troubled. Yes, he suffered. For what purpose? He suffered to obtain peace for you and for me. We were God's enemies. We made ourselves enemies of God. Yes, by rebelling against him, by disobeying him. My dear friends, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made peace for us. And so the word of God says in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." peace through Him by His death on the cross of Calvary for us. Now understand this truth. Unless we make peace with Him, we have no peace in us. How can we have peace, my dear friends, when we are very, very troubled by our sins and when we are weighed down by the guilt of sin in us? How can we have peace? We have no peace, my dear friends, until we make peace with the one true living God. And we make peace with the one true living God by what? By the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, that was what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He came to make peace for us between us and the one true living God. So, my dear friends, you see, He was troubled. He was troubled so that we might be set free from troubles. Yes. Now He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? What shall I say?" Now the trouble He was experiencing, or that He was going to experience, was very, very great. It was perplexity and anxiety of the mind of the greatest kind, the greatest that you can imagine, when He thought of the agony of bearing our sins, your sins and my sins, and all the sins of mankind in time past, in time present, in time future. He was indeed very troubled. "What shall I say?" So He said, you see how human He was. "What shall I say?" Indeed, He was perfectly human. And there are times in our life when we are so troubled that we do not know what to do, what to say, what to think. And then we say, "What shall I say?" Isn't it true? We do that. So our Lord did that because He was human. He said, "What shall I say?" But understand this truth. The Lord was troubled. That was true. But our Lord was never in despair. Understand this truth. It was not a case of He was so troubled that He didn't know what to do and totally in despair. No, He was never in despair. He was always perfectly in control. He knew exactly how to have this problem solved. How? He turned to His Heavenly Father for help. And so He prayed, "Father, save me from this hour." He prayed, "Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour." As a human being, He would naturally recall from the trouble that He was going to bear. Yes, the trouble of bearing your sins and my sins. Yes? And so He prayed, "Father, save me from this hour." So the Lord prayed when in trouble. That's my point number two. Alright? Number one, the Lord was in trouble. Number two, the Lord prayed when in trouble. And He has set us the example. Yes, like Him, friends, when we are in trouble, what ought we to be doing? We ought to be praying right away. And immediately we ought to be praying. Dr. Toh used to tell us stories about his grandfather teaching spiritual lessons to his grandchildren. So he would gather his grandchildren around and he would ask them questions. And on one occasion he asked them this question: "Grandchildren, if you are confronted by a tiger and if a tree is in front of you, what would you do? Run and scramble up the tree, or would you pray first?" What do you think the grandchildren will answer? "Grandfather, we'll run and climb up the tree." Of course, yes. My grandfather said, "No, you're wrong. You should be praying first before you think about climbing up the tree." And friends, and that's what we must be doing, friends. We must always pray first when we are confronted by troubles. Don't look into ourselves so quickly to search for answers. We have no answers. We are not able to resolve our problems, usually. Let's turn to the Lord for help. Now, while the Lord recalled from His sufferings, the sufferings ahead of Him, He never forgot one very crucial thing. And that was, He came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. He never forgot that. And so, when He prayed, "Father, save me from this hour." And then the next thing He said was this: "But for this cause came I unto this hour." for this cause. And what was the cause? The cause was to die for sinful men and to save sinful men. That was the will of the Heavenly Father for him. And the Lord knew that he came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. So he prayed, Lord, save me from this hour. Deliver me from this agony. Deliver me from these sufferings. But at the same time he said, Lord, for this cause came I unto this hour. So was the Lord delivered from his agony? Was the Lord delivered from his suffering? Was he? No, my dear friends. He came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And the Lord answered his prayer. Yes, he did the will of the Heavenly Father. Finally, of course. Yes. So when we pray, when we pray for the Lord to deliver us from our troubles, we want our Lord to deliver us from our troubles. But friends, always remember this. Pray that we may be able to do the will of the Heavenly Father. If the Lord chooses to allow us to continue to be sick, if the Lord chooses to continue to allow us to be in those troubles, let us do what He wants us to do. Let us do the will of the Heavenly Father. That kind of prayer, my dear friends, is most pleasing unto the Lord. Now, but what if we brought the troubles down upon ourselves? And we want to get out of our troubles. Is there help for us when we want to get out of our troubles? Now, what do you think? Is there help when we brought the troubles down upon ourselves because of our sins? Will the Lord deliver us from our troubles? The answer is yes, of course, He will. But friends, we must very, very quickly confess our sins and pray that His will be done in our lives. Most importantly, His will be done in our lives. And we can expect Him to chastise us, my dear friends, when He applies His will to us and we want to do His will, which is the best for us. Now you will remember the case of the great King David. David at that time was already well established on his throne. And he was a very, very powerful man. His kingdom was very, very powerful. And he wanted to assess the power and the might of his kingdom. And so he ordered for a census to be taken. Now he was lifted up with pride. He sinned because he was very, very proud. And so he brought troubles down upon himself. God was not pleased. God was going to punish him. God was going to chastise him. And God came to him through the prophet Gad and posed to him three options. Alright, David, you are in trouble. Alright, you are in trouble. Or you want to get yourself out of your trouble. I give you three options. Option number one, you will be, your kingdom will suffer famine for 7 months. Alright, seven years. Your country, your kingdom will suffer from a famine for 7 years. Number two option, your kingdom and you and your people will be pursued by your enemies for 3 months. Option number three, your country will be afflicted by pestilence for 3 days. Now David, you choose. So what was David's answer? Alright, I read to you David's answer taken from 2 Samuel 24 verses 14 to 25. And David said unto Gad, Gad was the prophet that was sent by God to warn him, all right, to tell him that he was going to be punished, going to be chastised. And David said unto Gad the prophet, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. So, what was David's choice? David's choice was this, Lord, let us fall into your hands. In other words, what? Lord, let us do whose will? Your will, Lord. Let us do your will. And that option was the most merciful course of action that he could have expected from the Lord. Yes, to do the will of the Heavenly Father. My dear friends, when we are in trouble, because we brought the troubles down upon ourselves and we want to get out of those troubles, quickly confess our sins and very quickly ask the Lord, Lord, be very merciful to me. I want to fall into your hand. Deal with me in accordance to your mercies. And the Lord, by his mercies, Yes, will deal with us in the way He thinks best for us. That's the best deliverance for us, not the kind of deliverance we think that we ought to be having. Now we said that the Lord turned to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Now look at His objective in prayer. Look at verse 27. John 12:27. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. 28. Look at His objective in prayer. Father, glorify Thy name. Understand this truth, my dear friends. The Father, the Heavenly Father, will always answer the prayer of the Son. Now, why would the Heavenly Father answer the prayer of the Son? Now, the reason why the Father would always answer the prayer of the Son, because the Son always prays in this manner. Father, glorify Your own holy name. That's the reason why the Father always answered the prayer of the Son. And so we read, and then came the answer from the Heavenly Father. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. It seemed the Heavenly Father was saying, I have glorified My name in Your incarnation. When You took on that human flesh, I've already glorified My name. And I've glorified My name through Your performance of those great miracles that You perform. I've glorified My name through Your preaching of the word. I have glorified My name through the work that You have done. Yes, I've glorified My name. And now, I'm going to go glorify My name again. And this time, I'm going to glorify My name through Your death, and I'm going to glorify My name through Your resurrection. God will always answer our prayers by glorifying His own holy name. Dear friends, if we want our prayers answered, our prayers must have one objective and one objective only. And that is, the name of the Heavenly Father must be glorified. That is the kind of answer the Lord will give to us for our prayers. Yes, and every of our prayer with that kind of objective will definitely be answered. But you know, the trouble with us is our prayers are very self-centered, very self-oriented. We do not care if God gets the glory. Yes, we are only interested in enjoying the blessings through answered prayers. Isn't that very true? Lord, bless us, please bless us, and so forth. Of course, we want the blessings, but we are only interested in that. And we are only interested to glorify ourselves. We are not very, very concerned, or not concerned at all about glorifying the name of the Lord. So young people, yes, might pray this prayer. Lord, help me to pass my exams. Now, the objective of your prayer could be this, so that I look good in my own eyes. I pass my exams. I look good in my own eyes. I look good in my eyes of my parents. I look good in the eyes of my friends. Now, is that your objective in prayer? Now, if that is your objective in prayer, my dear friends, that is not a good objective. If it is your primary objective. I'm not saying that you don't want to look good in your own eyes. Of course, we like to look good in our own eyes. But friends, that is not the should not be the primary objective of your prayer. Your primary objective should be to glorify the name of the Lord. And all the other objectives are secondary. They could be legitimate objectives, but they must be secondary. Primary objective must be the name of the Lord must be glorified. So Lord, help me pass my exams, so that people may understand that wisdom and strength and promotion and success come from You and You alone. Glorify Your holy name, O Lord. All the older ones here may pray, Lord, help me get that job. Now, if your objective of getting that job is to get a better salary and to enjoy a higher standard of living, that objective is not a good objective if it is your primary objective. Your primary objective must be to glorify the name of the Lord. Lord, help me to get this job so that I may be able to maximize the use of my talents to serve You better, so that I may be able to glorify Your holy name. Now, that kind of objective, if it is your primary objective, is most pleasing unto the one true living God. So, does the Lord answer our prayers? Yes, of course, He answers our prayers. if the objective of our prayer is to glorify the name of the Lord, He will always answer that prayer. He will glorify His own holy name. Now, does the Lord always grant us our request? No, of course not. Yes, but He will always answer our prayers, and that He will answer our prayers by glorifying His holy name. Alright, case in point. Think of the great apostle Paul. Remember, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. Yes, afflicted by the thorn in the flesh, and for 3 times he prayed for the Lord to remove this thorn from him. And each time the Lord said no to him. And then finally the Lord said this to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said, "Most gladly then will I glorify in my infirmities." Because Paul knew that with his infirmities, he was going to serve the Lord better. He was going to glorify the name of the Lord better. Without his infirmities, he could be so swollen-headed because of the great privilege given to him. He might not be effective for the Lord. So he said, "I glory in my infirmities so that I may be able to serve the Lord better and glorify his name better." So did the Lord answer Paul's prayer? Yes or no? The answer, right? The answer is yes, of course. The Lord answered Paul's prayer by glorifying His own holy name. But did the Lord grant Paul's request? No, you see? So our God will always answer our prayers, but our prayer requests need not necessarily be granted. Alright. Now next, let us see how the Lord answered the Lord's prayer. Okay, the Lord prayed, and let's see how the Lord answered His prayer. Verse 28, "Father, glorify Thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Verse 29, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him." Verse 30, "Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." God the Father answered the Son with a voice, audibly. He answered audibly. The answer was loud. Some said it thundered, others said that the angel spake to him. But the Lord said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." He was saying this, what the Father says, I already know. There is nothing He says which I already do not know. This voice came for your sakes. Now here was another miracle performed before the eyes and within the hearing range of the people. They heard the voice, they heard the thunder, like a thunder. They heard. A miracle was performed before them when the Lord prayed. But friends, did they believe because a miracle was performed? No, my dear friends. And the truth is given to us in John chapter 12, verse 37. "But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him." Although the Lord performed so many miracles, yet the people did not believe on Him. Now the truth is, miracles do not convert people. They don't. People saw the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't believe in Him. For example, He performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. He created bread and fish out of nothing, and many of the people ate the fish and the bread. But did they believe in Him? No, they did not. They were not willing to commit themselves to Him. No, they would not. Yes, they wanted just to make Him king so that He would continue to provide them with fish and with bread. But they would not want to commit their lives to Him. My dear friends, I say this to you. If you are outside the kingdom of God, do you seriously think that today, if you were to hear the voice of God speaking to you audibly, you will come to believe? I dare say that you might not believe. Yes, even if you were to hear this voice speaking to you audibly, you might still not want to believe. So friends, let's not pray for the performance of spectacular miracles. Don't pray for those. But rather, pray that the Lord's Spirit may work in the hearts of people so that they will turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Pray that the Lord will work in our hearts so that our hearts might be softened and we would be willing to receive Him into our hearts. Pray that the Lord will work in our hearts so that we may be more receptive to God's word, that we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. My dear friends, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to work in that manner, rather than to pray for great miracles to be performed, because miracles don't convert people. So for the 30 in 30, when we go out to hand out tracts, when we go out to speak to people, don't expect spectacular things. Don't. But pray that God's Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of people whom we speak to, that their hearts might be opened and that they might come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now today, the truth is, the Lord does speak to us. He does. And He speaks to us out of His Word. He does not speak to us through a thunderous voice, but He speaks to us through His still, small voice. And today, if you would open your heart, and if you would repent from your sins, if you haven't trusted in Him, you will hear Him speaking to you through His Word. You will hear His voice speaking to you through the voice of preaching. You hear Him speaking to you through the voice of reading His Word. And you will hear Him speaking to you through the voice of someone who comes and shares the gospel with you. You will hear the still small voice speaking to you if you were willing to open your heart and be willing to repent from your sins. So, my dear friends, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you have not believed in Him yet, soften your heart. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you keep on hardening your heart and keep on hardening your heart, one day your heart will be so hard, because God is going to harden your heart. And when you have reached that point, my dear friends, no matter how loud that voice comes, from heaven, you are not going to believe, I can tell you that, because your heart is hardened. Now one day, there is going to be a great shout coming from heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That great shout will come from heaven, and we read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. I read for you, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There will be a shout coming down from heaven, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My dear friends, a day will come when there is this shout coming down from heaven. Now, will you be able to hear that shout? I do not know. If you are an unbeliever, I do not know whether you will be able to hear that shout or not. Even the shout is going to be a loud one to believers. But it makes no difference. Whether you hear that shout or you are not going to hear that shout, it makes no difference. You know why? Because you will be left behind. That's why. No difference. You are an unbeliever. You will be left behind. And you will be left behind to face the wrath of God during the 7 years of tribulation. But those of us who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your bodies are in the grave at that time, even if your bodies are in the grave at that time, you will hear that shout from heaven, and you will respond. Yes, the grave will be opened, you will be resurrected, and you will be brought up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And those of us who are believers at that time, will we or will we not hear that shout? Yes, we hear the shout, and we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we shall be with Him forever and ever. But friends, what a sad day it will be for you on that day, if you are going to be left behind. I trust, my dear friends, that today you will change your mind and hear His voice now, and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to hear You now. Lord, I've heard Your voice, and I want to come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please come into my heart. I pray and I urge that you will do that, if you have not already done so. Finally, I'd like us to see that the Lord troubled brought wondrous results. You see, He brought wondrous results through His troubles. He was troubled by the thought of bearing the full weight of the sin of the world upon Him. But friends, the trouble He bore brought judgment of this world, and the trouble that He bore would draw men unto Himself. So we read this in verses 31 to 33. I read for you, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. My trouble, the trouble that I'm going to go through, will bring judgment upon this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and that's going to happen. Satan will be cast out through this trouble, that by the trouble that I'm going to bear. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This is that signifying what death he should die. By his death, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be handing down a judgment of condemnation on this world. The order of things which were controlled by Satan would be condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, would no longer be left to the control of Satan and the powers of the darkness of this world. The Lord was in fact saying this, I am about to spoil the dominion of the world. Now he was talking about his death, and he said, I'm about to spoil the dominion of Satan and the powers of darkness over this world. Their control will no longer be tolerated. The prince of the world, the devil, will be cast out. He will be a vanquished enemy. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Now today, we probably have a very, very inadequate understanding of the power of darkness in control up to the time of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, perhaps, demon possession, familiar spirits, wizards, witches, and so forth would, I think, possibly be more real and more powerful than we think they are today. Yes, possibly. That is why the Lord said this. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. These powers of darkness over the world will be destroyed. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. But today, we see other manifestations of the power of darkness. We see the power of darkness manifested by what? By things such as the gay rights movement, by the same-sex marriage movement. But friends, one day, all these powers, all the powers of the darkness of this world will be completely demolished. They will be gone from the surface of the earth when the Lord returns. It's going to happen someday. So friends, never let us be fearful of the devil. Now it is true, the devil is powerful. We might fear that he would possess us, but we need never fear that we would ever be possessed by him, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Or we might fear that he might destroy our enemies. But friends, we need not have to fear, because the Lord is in us. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Because he is in us, my dear friends, we have the power to resist the evil one. Did you realize this today, that if you choose not to sin, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need not sin? Do you realize that? Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you. You have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. That's the wonderful thing that is going to happen, my dear friends, or what's going to happen through the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the other wonderful thing is that what he was troubled by would end up with his drawing all men unto himself. Yes, he would be paying for the sins of the world. On the cross, he would be crying this, "It is finished." And indeed, when he was on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. Yes, the sins of the world have been paid for. Now I can freely draw all men unto myself. I can now justly forgive them, because their sins have been forgiven. Now I can justly invite them to come to me." Previously, he could not justly have done that. He could not have just said, "I forgive you, it's alright, come and believe." He could not say that. But now he could, because our sins have been paid for. And so he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We come to him, we find rest from fears. We find rest from the fear of the devil. We come to him, we find rest in the assurance that our heaven is ours. We come to him, and we find rest in that we will not have fear of death. Yes, we come to him, we find rest in the storms of life. He is our comfort and he is our strength. we'll realize that. Yes, and we'll find that it is very, very true, the promise that He's made to us if we come to Him. Yes, He says to us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Yes, if we are drawn to Him, my dear friends, we will find rest in Him. The question is, have you come to Him yet? And that's the question, my dear friends, that we need to answer. Our Lord was troubled because He was looking forward to bearing the full weight of the sin of the world. The full concentration of the horrors of death was going to come down upon Him. He was going to bear your sins. He was going to bear my sins. He was so troubled. Yes, He was so troubled. Yeah. And he was troubled, because indeed He was troubled by the thought of the full weight of the sin that was going to come down upon Him. Yes, He suffered the pains and the anguish of bearing our sins on the world, the sins of the world, in order that we might have peace with the one true living God. And then, when He was troubled, what did He do? He prayed when He was troubled. And as the Lord prayed, turned to His Heavenly Father when He was in trouble, so must we be turning to the Lord when we are in trouble. He prayed, "Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour." He prayed to be spared from the agony that He was going to face, but He realized that He must do the will of the Heavenly Father. Likewise, my dear friends, when we pray, let us always remember to pray that the will of the Heavenly Father be done in our lives. That's the kind of prayer that is pleasing to the Lord. God the Father heard the prayer of the Son. Why? Because the Son prayed that the Father's name might be glorified. Whenever we pray, "Father, may your name be glorified," that prayer will surely be answered, 100%, because God will always glorify His own holy name. Years ago, a devout woman of Scotland prayed earnestly that his son might be called into the ministry. Now, that was a very good prayer. She wanted her son to be called into the ministry. And so this son grew up and he became a very, very earnest Christian man, a very, very sincere, faithful Christian man. But then he started preparing for the ministry. But then he realized that he was not called for the ministry. So he gave up preparing for the ministry and he went into the banking world. And he became a very, very successful banker. But he remains a very, very faithful, devout Christian. Yes, a very, very faithful banker he became until the day he died. And he died a very, very wealthy man. Now the question is, was the woman's prayer answered? Was her prayer answered? We might think, oh, maybe her prayer was not answered. But was her prayer answered? Now you see, her prayer was answered. When this man died, they found that he left behind a will. And he willed that his big fortune that he amassed be an endowment for this institution called the Kentucky Theological Seminary. And through this seminary, many ministers were trained for the gospel. Not just one man, not just the son of this woman, but many were trained to be ministers of the gospel. So, my dear friends, was the prayer of this woman answered? The answer is yes. Was her prayer request granted? No. But her prayer was answered. God's name was glorified through God's name was glorified in answer to her prayers. And now finally, His troubles, the Lord's troubles for suffering for us on the cross, would result in victory. Yes, and it resulted in the judging of the world. Satan would be cast out, and Satan was cast out. Yes, and his power was destroyed. Satan is now a vanquished enemy. And then his sufferings on the cross would result in his drawing men, women, and children to him. And indeed, many have been drawn to him. But the question for all of us here is, have you been drawn to him yet? Yes, today He invites you to come to Him. He wants to draw you to Him. He invites you to come to Him. Will you come to Him today if you have not already done so? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your goodness. And this morning, O Lord, we pray that You will teach us so that we may be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever we pray, O Lord God, we pray that we may pray with the view to glorify Your holy name. For such prayers, You are pleased to answer. O Lord, we pray that we may always pray that the Lord, pray like the Lord, to say to You, may Your will be done in our prayers. O Lord, we pray this morning also for those who have not known You as Lord and Savior, who have not tasted of the blessings that they might receive through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we pray that You speak to them, cause them to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for them. Cause them to come to believe in You as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.